Right now, it's time for our weekly check-in with our regular news guy, Noah Ovshinsky. He joins us each Friday at this time to catch us up on what's making headlines in Wisconsin. Hey, Noah.
Hey, guys. Good to be with you tonight.
Well, the legislation, our legislature ended its session, evidently for real, maybe, question mark, to be continued this time. What happened in the closing day?
It's true. The rumors are true. The legislative session officially ended this week with the Senate finishing up its business for the year. And now we're actually officially into election season.
Uh-huh. Okay. So we've turned a corner.
It's amazing how quickly that happens.
Yeah.
Before we get to election season, let's talk about the legislative session. The Senate passed and the governor has since signed a much talked about bill that makes chemotherapy drugs in pill form more affordable. This is similar to a bill that the Senate originally passed a while ago, although the Assembly added an amendment to that original bill that adds a $100 per month cap on copays. That's why the Senate had to re-vote on that piece of legislation, because they had not initially supported this cap. Now they have, and that piece of legislation is now the rule, is now the law in Wisconsin.
All right, well, that one passed. Another one that you've been tracking, Noah, is the doctor's apology issue. Where's that?
Right. So the Senate also passed a bill that is a bill in one form or another that has been floating around for a while now. And this is a bill that prohibits a doctor's apology from being used as evidence in a medical malpractice lawsuit, which happens quite often. In fact, it's one of the sometimes the key piece of evidence that lawyers use to prove or attempt to prove a malpractice in these lawsuits. Supporters of this bill that prohibits the use of apologies in lawsuits, they say this will improve the communication between doctors and patients' families. And there's also some evidence that suggests that apologies by doctors and other healthcare professionals actually may even lessen the chance of a doctor or hospital being sued in the first place.
Now, if you are someone who is bringing a malpractice suit, what does this news mean to you then?
It's not good news. Also, if you're a trial lawyer who specializes in medical malpractice, this is, you know, one less tool in the tool belt, so to speak. Critics of this bill say it makes it much harder for people to win medical malpractice suits in this state.
Now, it's happened in years past that we've talked about, okay, now we're done with the session, and then it comes back somehow. Is that going to happen this year?
Right. So there's this possibility, and it really is nothing more than a possibility, that the legislature may come back in a special session to make changes to the state's voter ID law. And the reason why I say that is because there are several cases now going on both in state and federal court that have to do with a voter ID law. And if those rulings come down between now and, say, election time, mm-hmm. towards November, if those rulings come down, lawmakers have suggested that they are willing to come back in special session to address whatever changes the judges think need to happen in order to make it lawful in the state, because they want to make sure that voter ID is in place for the next election.
So we'll be watching for a sequel. May or may not come there.
Stay tuned.
Well, there was something else happening this week, another big story. Republican State Senator Glenn Grothman had a busy week. He's taking on one of his own.
Right. So Glenn Grothman announced this week that he plans to mount a primary challenge against Congressman Tom Petri, who represents the 6th Congressional District, which is sort of the Fond du Lac area of Wisconsin. Grothman says basically that Petri, although he likes him personally, he says Petri is too moderate and that he hasn't done enough to attack what Grothman says is an over-dependence on government. And what Grothman has said is people need to be more outspoken. The Republican Party needs to be more outspoken about what he sees as excessive spending by the federal government.
And what is the incumbent saying in response to the challenge here?
So Petri defended his record after the announcement, saying this is a direct quote, saying his record of pragmatic conservatism will speak for itself.
And Glenn Grothman is no stranger to internal challenges. He got into his current seat, right, challenging a prominent Wisconsin state senator from his own party.
Right. So he won his seat that he is now in a primary challenge against former Senate Majority Leader Mary Panzer. That was in 2004. So, Rob, as you noted, this is not the first time Glenn Grothman has been involved in a primary challenge.
And we'll move now to another area of the legislation. Bill Cramer, who has been in the headlines and not for reasons that are very happy for him, and how that plays out ultimately still up in the air right now. What's going on there?
Right. So Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, as well as others in the GOP leadership, sent a letter this week to Bill Cramer demanding that he resign his seat. Cramer, as a matter of background here, Cramer has been charged with felonies by prosecutors in Waukesha County related to an alleged sexual assault that took place a few years ago. He is accused of touching a then legislative staffer inappropriately at an event in Muskego. And those felonies, those charges were just filed very recently.
And what's the case that his own party's leaders are making for why he should get out now?
Right. So the letter said that this alleged behavior, and of course it is alleged at this point, they call it reprehensible, and that he should leave out of respect for the institution of state government and the people he represents in his particular district.
So that aspect sort of appeals to his better self, but there was also a stick that went along with this. Tell us about that part.
Right. So there was also, in addition to that letter that was sent to him, there was also an accompanying press release where GOP leaders indicated that those in Cramer's district could recall him if he doesn't resign. Basically, they indicated that that was an option for his district.
There was some talk of the legislature voting to expel him. Where did that go?
Right. So lawmakers do have the option to return to the Capitol to potentially vote to expel him from the legislature. But it seems like at this point, you know, they aren't willing to do that. Instead, obviously relying or putting the onus on Cramer's district to make that decision. According to Robin Voss, you know, they don't want to interfere with the criminal case that is ongoing. And they feel that, you know, expelling him and the legislature may complicate that criminal case.
And where is the Cramer's legal team on this right now? What do we know about what they're saying?
Right. So according to Cramer's lawyer, he says he has no plans to step down at this point.
So he's in the Assembly, which means his seat is up for election this November. He said he's not running again, right?
Right.
So if he's not expelled, if he's not recalled, if he doesn't step down, he's done whenever the rest of the Assembly is inaugurated next January or whenever that is.
Right. So because he has said he's not planning to seek re-election. So whatever happens, whether something happens in the criminal case or whether he is recalled or changes his mind for that matter. I mean, he could change his mind and say, yes, I will resign. His time at the Capitol is limited because, as you mentioned, he's not running for reelection and that term ends at the end of this year. So regardless of what happens, he won't be in the Capitol next year.
And we move from the state capitol to Eau Claire, where there were two key referenda voted on recently. What happened?
Yeah, so this is really a story that has been actually made headlines in Eau Claire and has been debated really extensively in that community for months and really almost close to 2 years now. There have been a debate over a proposed performing arts center and student housing project downtown. And supporters of this project hope that this $80 million project will serve as sort of a catalyst for economic development in the downtown area of Eau Claire.
What was the debate like over this? This was a referendum, right? Or two referenda, I should say.
Right. So on Tuesday, residents in the county voted in favor of contributing $3.5 million towards the Performing Arts Center. So that was one question. You know, should the county contribute money to this project? And voters, that question passed with around 54% of the vote. So voters said, yes, we're willing to spend money on this project. You know, critics argue that this wouldn't be a good use of taxpayer money and that it was basically redundant because there were other performing arts spaces in Eau Claire, you know, high school auditoriums and such. And they frankly argue that it's not the city's job to help fund this kind of arts project. You know, they say private developers should be the ones taking the lead on this kind of project. The other question that the voters had on the ballot was they were asked in the city of Eau Claire whether or not future referendums should be necessary for arts related projects costing more than $1 million. So basically, it's a referendum that potentially could put up further obstacles to you know, start projects like this proposed $80 million arts project. And that was voted down 60% to 40%. So both of these referenda are really, I think, a statement for the community, at least, that this is something that at least the majority of residents support. you know, it has its critics, but this is something that the community wants for Eau Claire.
Seems to be a statement of support of the arts in general.
Yeah, that too. Absolutely. I mean, that is a crucial part. There is student housing associated with this project, but really the Performing Arts Center is one of those things that people have talked a lot about. And, you know, the supporters of this project think that this has the potential to really bring people downtown, to make the downtown a destination for theater and dance and that sort of thing. So for now, the project is moving forward with a big stamp of approval from the county and the city of Eau Claire.
So we'll keep an eye on that as it develops. You mentioned earlier we made a very quick transition from the legislative session to election season. We'll have the WPR St. Norbert survey results on, among other things, the race for governor next week. What happens now? They're not legislating. Do you see candidates getting out, hitting the streets, meeting constituents, drumming up support?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing we'll see is people announcing what their intentions are. Of course, there are people that are announcing that they're not going to run for reelection. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the next few months, we'll get a sense of, you know, what the playing field is actually going to look like, who's leaving, who's staying, who's going to run again for their seat. So that'll happen. And then, you know, we'll hear them both, you know, at press conferences around the state and events, live events, but also advertising. Of course, with the governor's race, you can bet that going into this summer, there is going to be advertising on both sides. Partly because the governor wants to get his message across and because Mary Burke needs to do more to introduce herself to the state as a whole.
Now, Noah, as you've been talking, I have one final question. It's been snowing over your shoulder on and off out the window. Are the people of Wisconsin in support of more snow?
No.
I was hoping
you heard it here first.
This Wisconsin isn't.
Noah, thanks for joining us. That's Noah Ovshinsky, WPR's assistant news director.